appreciate the invitation that was given to us, conferring upon us the responsibility, which is a grave responsibility, of bringing a Bible lesson tonight. We appreciate the presence of each and every one and hope that tonight something will be said and done that will be conducive to your eternal salvation. With the good singing of this congregation, the edification that we've already received in these songs, we should be prepared for our lesson tonight. We talked about Jesus. He bore it all. He paid the price. And the position that prayer has in our lives, we cannot depend upon ourselves, but we can go to Jesus. That He is the King of our life, and we're looking forward to that mansion over yonder. Jesus holds it forth as a promise to those who would lay hold upon it. And then the brevity of life is brought to our minds because in a short while, and our age really doesn't have much to do with that, we'll fly away. I can't expect very much longer on this world. And even if you're only 10, 15, or 25, you may not have any more time than I have. God didn't promise us a length of time. Life is brief. He tells us that. But He has done what is necessary to do that we might know, understand, and face the reality of eternity as intelligent people and make our decision. As we turn our attention to the Bible lesson tonight, and that's exactly what we'll try to present is Bible. For me to stand up here and give you anything else but Bible is a waste of your time and mine. Here's what God has given us that's all important to us. Paul knew this, and he said he was ready, whatever that cost, to preach the gospel in Rome, and probably would mean his life. But he looked forward to it as an opportunity. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. History has given us enough that we might know that it is foolish and a waste of time to stand up here and present anything else. If I would spend the time in giving to you book reports, preaching about current events, politics, pep talks, stories, it's a waste of time. That won't save anybody. Here is what will save man's souls, and that's why we're here. People try to build churches. They can't build one that'll save them. They try to get around the Bible and give you something in addition to the Bible we've learned a long time ago, or we should know. If we have a book that has more than the Bible has, it has too much. And if it has less than what the Bible has, it doesn't have enough. And if it has exactly what the Bible has, then it is the Bible, and we don't need that book. Just study the Bible. It will take us to heaven. That's all we need, friends. The Bible is God's Word. Believe that. Now, I'm not going to try to make you believe what Bible I'm going to present tonight. But I'm going to do what God said to do, preach it. And He said it'll not return to Him void. And I know from what he says in here that will not be a person in this building, even if they don't make it to heaven, that will be an unbeliever. There will not be an unbeliever in hell. Did you know that? There'll not be an unbeliever in hell. You can tell yourself all you want, you don't believe it. But 1 minute out of death, I guarantee you'll believe everything's in this book. So it's just a matter of giving you the opportunity to make up your mind what you want to do and where you want to go. That's what it amounts to. I want to talk tonight about a meeting that everybody's going to attend. We don't hear much about it. People don't like to think about it. And everybody's going to be there. None of us have ever been in a meeting like that. Everybody in this congregation is going to be in that meeting. And everybody that didn't come to services tonight is going to be in that meeting. Every heathen, every unbeliever, every person in this world or has lived is going to be there. Can you imagine being in a meeting like that? I want you to think tonight. You're going to be there, and I'm going to be there. And I won't have one iota of a preference over you. I'll be there just like you, waiting for the verdict. You get the idea? Elders are going to be there. They're going to be the same way. But I'm a member of the church. You're going to be there too, waiting for the verdict. Open your Bibles to Matthew 25. So much in this, and Jesus, you see, Jesus came from over there on that side. He came to this earth, so if he doesn't know about it, I don't know who we're going to go to find out about it. Matthew 25, we have about the talents. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom is like this, and some had 10, 5, 1 talent, and what happened to them, and some used them, some didn't, and so forth. But after he said all of that, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, see, it'll be a different situation then. He came the first time as a Savior. He came the first time to die on the cross as the lamb that would be slain, but he won't come that way the second time. He's coming as the judge. The Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Now, if you could just imagine, I can't imagine. Multitudes of angels. All the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne. Get it? Not a petitioner, not a beggar. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. King shall say unto them on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it's strange. They're going to look at him and say, after he says, I was hungry and in prison, when did we do this, Lord? Inasmuch you did one of the least of these, my brethren. Verse 41, then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart. Oh, what a word. Suppose he's looking at you when he says that. Suppose you're over there in that side. Depart. Depart from me, ye cursed. There must be a lot in that word that we don't comprehend. Into everlasting, lasting forever, everlasting fire. Depart from me, everlasting fire prepared for you. No. This is what makes it awful to think about. You and I might be there in a fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You're going to be in the meeting. You didn't do anything, any of these things to me, and they tried to argue with him about it. It didn't make any difference. This is going to be a bit different meeting, as I said, than any you've ever been in, that I've ever been in. We've already read here, the audience is all nations, everybody. Young people, you think about it. Those people that have no regard for God, or those people maybe in the cover of darkness, you've done things that you may not want to be right out in the open. You wouldn't want people to broadcast it. All of you going to be there. Members of the church, you didn't ring true. You didn't really do what God said to do. You tried to cover it up. You put on a front. People out here in the world used you to stay outside, and they said, well, there's hypocrites in the church, and they're trying to hide behind you. And you and them both stand there humiliated. Depart. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a member of the church, somebody that's been where they could and didn't, being with those that didn't try and they depart? Depart from me, you cursed. Now you think about all of the people, and you can think about all these people that are suffering from AIDS if you want to talk about it. I'm trying to get a new book, the AIDS cover-up, and it's hard to get a hold of. I'm going to get it as soon as the publisher can get it. They're trying to cover a lot of it up. I don't know whether it's God's visitation, but I kind of have an inkling of an idea that it always goes along with it. I can look back over history, and people have fooled around with sex, wrong sex I'm talking about. They pay a price. And somehow it's strange how all of a sudden it just comes out of nowhere and we don't understand it, and nothing we can do about it, isn't it? And I saw the Surgeon General of the United States, and he's a scientist, and they're rather conservative. And he says that what's ahead of us is shocking to him. Now, if you can just get through your mind, and I can get through mine what that means. I've heard expressions from him and others like this. In another 5 to 10 years, we may have a plague in America that makes the bubonic plague look like a Sunday picnic. So you may be driving around in all that finery and that blessings and new cars and new homes and everything's going fine, but it may not be long. It won't be going fine. Mile from a sermon, I'm trying to get you talking about a day you're going to attend a meeting. It may be quicker than we realize to say the time will come when you won't need to go to the hospital and you won't be able to find a bed because they'll all be taken by this plague. Sorry, you can't get in. you just go ahead and die outside, but I don't have the plague. It's all right. And you see, if Jesus doesn't come, when you and I die, it just, so far as that's concerned, it's just the same thing because it's sealed. It's just the same as if he did come, because there isn't anything going to change after that. I'm talking to you what Jesus tells us. There's a big meeting coming and everybody's going to be there. You're going to be there. You can't miss it. Some of the meetings, even church gatherings, and you say, oh, I don't want to go, and you just stay at home. You won't do that with this one. And maybe if you do go, you go and you say, boy, I hope it's over quick. I'll tell you something. There'll be one meeting you won't be wanting it over quick. You'll hope that will last a long time, spaciously, till it get around to you, won't you? You know, I planned it. That's all right, Lord. Just don't hurry. Don't hurry. Be a different story, won't it? The one that's the preacher, you want to call it that, or the judge, it actually is Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge thee, Paul to Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Wonder why he said that. Because he knew then he was preaching Jesus as the Redeemer, but he also is telling them, I'm putting a charge before you and reminding you of Jesus, who will be the judge of us all. Every one of us. Whether we loved him or didn't love him. Whether we honored him or dishonored him. We're going to stand there with everybody else before Jesus. And he's the one that'll decide. He's the one that'll control it. He's the one that will say, this side or this side. And you won't have a thing to say about it. It's too late. See, now's the time you have something to say about it. Acts 17:30. Times of this ignorance God winked at. Paul and Mars Hill. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge. You see, judgment was always held out. People today is getting so nice religiously that they just don't want to talk about judgment. That you're getting just so nice that you might go to hell too. I'm not afraid to say that. Because everyone in this building might end up in hell. And I think that the best way Earl can keep out of hell is to keep thinking about it. When I lose sight of hell and I get so indifferent that I don't really think about it and care about it and realize what it is, I may get really careless. But if Earl does a little thinking about it and what it's like and what hell's described as, it might help keep me out of it. How about you? Do you think it'd help you? I think it does me. what's the subject going to be? Now, I imagine we all could tell Jesus what to preach about then. But when it describes the day of judgment, Revelation 20 and verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, plural, books, more than one. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Works going to be the subject over there. Works. Not profession. Works. What you did. Every man should give an account. Man is generic. Every person should give an account of himself before God of what he does in the body. Now you think about it. Whether it be good or bad. Now you think about that, young people, tonight after dark, and you go out here and somebody says, oh, come on, let's go out here and have some. They call it fun. What it means is sin. And you go out there and you do those things that you really don't want mom and dad to know about it. But one thing for sure, you wouldn't want it brought in here and somebody get up and just gab it all over the congregation and get up front and tell everybody in the congregation what you did last night, would you? That'd be humiliating. Well, if I can understand what God's word says, there it's going to be in the day of judgment, and all your friends, all your neighbors, all your acquaintance, right there with you. Right there with me. And works, what I did in the body. Before everybody. That's what he says. And you'll be judged out of the things written in the book. It's all a matter of record. That's enough to be shocking. And if you don't want what you do broadcast and brought out in public and everybody in the world to know about it, then don't go to judgment with it. There's a way you can cover it up. And there's only one way I know of, the Bible says, you can cover it up. And that's with this book and the blood of Jesus. The only way. And then it won't be remembered. Right? The only way. Oh, what a meeting. Some of you stand there that ought to have been a Christian, you heard the gospel, and you said, I'm going to one of these days, and you don't get around to it. There you stand before the judge. Opens a book. What's your works? Did you do it? Did you lay hold of eternal life? Mm-mm. Quaking, shaking, gnashing your teeth as he says, I don't know you. Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, that's not opinion. That's not my think so. That's Bible. Second Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Writing to Christian people, he said, to you that are troubled, rest with us. There's comfort in this, but to some it's no comfort. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What if that happened right now? Trump sound, and you won't miss it. I won't miss it. We won't wonder if it's a siren or wonder if it was something. Everybody will know him and everybody will see him, the Bible says, when that happens. Jesus breaks forth from heaven. What if it's right now? Revealed from heaven with these mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. Does that get anybody in this group tonight? You don't know God? What about the second part? And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't yet? There it is. I'm not judging you. Descend, flaming fire, taking vengeance. We don't really know what God's vengeance is. We can look back to Sodom and Gomorrah where we can't find a trace of it. We can look at Lot's wife that turned a pillar of salt just like that. We can look at the city of Jerusalem that wasn't a stone left unturned and get a little idea of the wrath of God, but that's just a little picture of it. Compared to what this is going to be. You here tonight, you haven't obeyed the gospel, right there you are in that verse. Who shall be punished with annihilation? No, don't you wish. Who shall be punished with everlasting, lasting forever punishment? From the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified with his saints. It'll be a glorious day for the saints that are faithful. Now we couldn't hope to use everything the Bible says on this subject tonight. It's not a new subject. And I'm not going to try to make you believe it. But there's enough said right now in the Bible. And we've read it to you. If that don't work on you, if that has no effect on you, I don't know what will. That's what can save you. Thanks be to God, he sent Jesus to die in your place, to offer salvation. To pay the price. If you have to pay for it, it'll be everlasting destruction. You can't, there's a goal fixed, you can't change it, it'll be forever and forever. If you're a member of the church and you look at this tonight and say, when Jesus comes, it almost scares me to think about what would happen. I'm not living like I should. You better get straightened out. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed Christ, I wouldn't put it off another night. Tonight's the accepted time. Tonight's the time of salvation. You have that. You have no promise of tomorrow, but you do have the promise of this meeting that's coming, and you'll be in it. Now, if you're a member of the church and you're not ready to go, as we sing this invitation song, you're to think about the judgment. You come back, if it's a public confession you need to make because of public sins, you do that tonight. Don't take a chance. Heaven isn't something you take chances with. You aren't going there for the skin of your teeth. Just make sure, make it positive. Say, Lord, I want to make sure. And ask God's forgiveness. Ask the brethren's forgiveness. Ask God's forgiveness. And He'll forgive you. He'll do that. And if you're not a member of the church, you haven't obeyed the gospel. Jesus said, you have to believe Him to be saved. The just shall live by faith. Believe with all your heart, not reservation. Repent means turn around. Turn away from the way of sin. Turn around from the way you're going. Repent. And confess His wonderful, beautiful name before men, so He'll confess you before the Father. And then be buried with your Lord in baptism. Let your body go through what Jesus, a likeness of what Jesus actually went through, to come up out of that watery grave, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, a Christian, in covenant blood relationship with Jesus, one of His children, so that when you stand there in that day, you could hear Him say, come, blessed of my Father. Oh, isn't that something to think about? Come, blessed my Father. You can just change it tonight like that. We're going to sing the invitation. Jesus is waiting. Church is waiting. You're the one that has to make up your mind. Will you come? Whatever you need tonight while we stand together.